go with the message. God, you're an awesome God, and I just pray that you will use me to, I am your tool, use me to speak to your congregation. I pray that you will have me remember the things that you want me to say and forget the things you don't want me to say. And in all of it, I pray that each and every person out there will get out of it what you want them to get out of it in spite of me. And God, I pray that you will just help my voice to hold out. Yes, and say this all in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. So I've been doing good, you know. It's been about 2 weeks now that my whole family's been sick, and I've been holding off. Anyways, I lost on Wednesday, so hopefully my voice will hold out all the way through. So last week, we talked about marriage and communication, and we did the guy side. And today we're going to do the girls. So marriage is very important to God. It's so important to God that he starts out and ends everything with marriage. Right after creation, he married the two. He said they became one flesh. So in God's eyes, we are one. There is nobody you will ever be closer to than your spouse. So if they're miserable, so will you be. If they are happy, so will you be. He ends his work in Revelations where he comes down, the groom grabs his bride, the church, and they go to the marriage feast. That's how it ends. So marriage is very important to God. We talked about last week that in 1 Corinthians, there is a verse there, if you do exactly what it says, you will not have any trouble in marriage whatsoever. And that is if you don't get married. That's the only way you're not going to have trouble in marriage. It goes on a little bit farther in Corinthians as he says, why? He says that in marriage, we will have trouble. It's a myth that is, especially in the Christian church, that you're supposed to have a perfect marriage. It's not going to be a perfect marriage. Is that what I need to do? We're not going to have a perfect marriage. If you have too much trouble in your marriage, that's not good. It's not a healthy marriage. If you have no trouble in your marriage, that's not healthy either. Because that means you're stuffing it, because you are going to have troubles. And so if you think it's perfect, that means you're stuffing it and you're letting it build up. And if you let it build up and build up, it'll make you goofy. I saw those couples when I was going to college down in Arizona. Old retired couple that comes down, you know. She's fine, because she talks about it. She gets it out. Usually it's the guy is the one who stuffs it. He's walking, you know, they're out there walking, and she's up there doing fine. The guy behind him, he's all hunched over. He's vibrating, you know. It's all that stuff he's been stuffing. She's back there going, I'm a man. I'm a man. You can't tell me to do anything. He's trying to win back all the arguments that he's lost for the last 50-some years. You know, we got to talk about it. We can't just let it build up. We have to talk about it. And then last week I went through and talked about the hardest things on a marriage. They did a poll. Number one came as communication is the hardest thing in a marriage. That's where the most trouble comes from a marriage. Second is money. Third is in-laws. Fourth is parenting. And then five, I just kind of summarized it, because 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all major life changes. Changing jobs, buying a new house, loved one dies, all those kind of major life changes. And so those are the hard ones on a marriage. And I talked about communication, because that's number one. And last week I talked about men. This week I'm talking about women. If any of you want to hear it, they're on our website, or you can ask them in the back and they will copy off a CD. So we pretty much all know that men and women are different, right? There's no question about that. Men and women are different. One of the things that we're different in is how many words we got. They did a study and stuff, and it said the average woman does about 20,000 words a day. The average man is about 7,000 words a day. That's a huge difference. That's a 13,000 word difference. So that means by the time that the guy gets home, he's done. He's used up all of his words. She's been home with the kids and hasn't used any of his words. She's still got 20,000 to go, you know? And so this causes conflict. You can tell this by, you know, when a guy comes home from work and he walks through the door and she goes, how was your day? What's the answer? Fine. Another day. That's it. A woman walks in the door and you ask her, how was her day? 45 minutes to an hour later, you know, she's still going. Because she hasn't used up her words. And a woman has all of her words are done by emotion. Everything is in the details. A guy, it's about facts. How'd your day go? Nothing factual happened today, so it was fine. Just another day. Julie and I, when we do marriage things and stuff, we came up with guys and gals' brains. And the best thing that we came up with for a guy brain, it's the best thing we could come up with, because a guy's brain is a whole bunch of boxes. And there are some rules in a guy's brain. A guy will only talk about what is in that box when he takes a box out. Nothing else. Only about what's in that box. And all the boxes cannot touch each other. Nothing touches nothing, okay? Everything is separate. And a guy has a box for everything. He has a box for you. He has a box for the kids. He has a box for the job. He has a box for shopping somewhere hidden in the basement that he doesn't want to bring out. And none of them touches. Now, a gal, her brain is more like a ball of string or a ball of wire. It's the internet superhighway. Everything is connected to everything. You are connected to the kids are connected to the job, the job's connected to shopping, shopping's connected to the cars, everything is connected to everything. And so this causes problems, because when we talk, a gal does what they call spider webbing. And so she talks about this, and then talks about this, and then talks about this, and the guy's over here jumping boxes just as fast as he can, trying to keep up. And then a guy has a box that you gals don't understand, and it drives you absolutely crazy. And it is our biggest box, and the box that we love to go to. And that's the nothing box. There is absolutely nothing in there. And we go to that box just every chance we get. And why this drives you gals crazy is because you can't do that. It is totally impossible for you gals to do that. So therefore, when the guy goes to his nothing box, you think he's thinking about something, so you come to him and says, what you thinking about? He goes, nothing. And you go, what is he hiding? What is he hiding from me? What is he not telling me? Oh, what did I do wrong now? And really, the guy is, he's just trying to be in his nothing box. The other thing that, you know, why gals don't like a nothing box, because there's nothing that irritates a gal more than to see a man doing nothing, right? That's why the nothing box is a problem. Gals, everything is connected. I mean, it's like the internet superhighway. This thing is just a buzzing all the time. And she can't shut it off. It's just going and going and going. And it is all driven by something called emotion. And that's why women can remember everything. Because if you take an event and you put an emotion to it, it sinks it in your brain and you can remember it. I bet you if you ask most of us here, the gal can remember absolutely everything about their wedding. They can remember what the temperature was, who had a broken shoelace. I mean, they can remember absolutely everything about their marriage. You ask a guy about their marriage, what do you remember? We got married. I said I do. Because unless there was something dramatic that happened, you know, if the best man and bride are walking down the aisle and they trip and fell, boom, that's embarrassing a moment. There's an emotion. It burned into the guy's memory. He'll remember that. If it wasn't something super significant, we don't have that emotion driven, so therefore we can't remember anything. And besides that, a lot of times we just don't care about our emotions, so therefore we don't remember anything. So with these great big differences, whose responsibility is it to try and get this all figured out? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered. It is our responsibility, guys. This big difference, sometimes she will come and speak your language, sometimes you will go and speak her language. But if you two are at odds and you can't get it, you know, it is our responsibility, guys. We are the ones who need to step up. A lot of people look at this showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. They're like, oh, come on, man. Equal rights. We're not weaker. If you actually go through the Greek and Hebrew and find out what exactly is being said here, that phrase is more like fine china. The ones that you are very careful with, the ones that you really like, that you display, that's more what this is saying. You're supposed to take really good care of her like she is fine china. Not that she's going to, the fine china breaks any easier than the other dishes. It's that she is fine china. We are supposed to take really good care of her. I mean, you go back to the Garden of Eden when the fall happened. And they ate of the fruit, they sinned, they realized they were naked and stuff, and so they hid from God. And God came down. Did he go to the woman and say, hey, what happened? No, he went to the guy. He goes, Adam, what's going on here? Of course, Adam failed, and he blamed the only two beings that he knew. God, it was a woman that you gave me. She made me do it, which didn't turn out too well. But in marriage, the buck stops with us, guys. We're the ones who need to stand up and make it right. We are the ones who need to, when conflict happens, to figure it out how to make a stop. It takes two people to argue, only one to make a stop. So women, how are they different? Well, we established that they definitely can remember everything. But how about when a woman's stressed out? How does she deal with it? When a woman's stressed out, she wants to talk about it. That's how she relieves the pressure. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode. It will build up pressure and literally explode. Some of you have probably experienced this, and it's not pretty. I know I've experienced it. We need to, as men, as husbands, when we see our wives stressing out, we need to communicate with them, help them with it, help them talk about it. Not what is common to us and try and fix it. That is not what she wants. That's not what she needs. She doesn't need somebody to fix it. She needs somebody to listen to her. And a lot of times men go, well, yeah, but when she starts talking, it's just like, da, 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 da. And I run away from her because I don't know what to say. Who told you to say anything? She doesn't want you to say anything. She wants you to shut up and listen. That's what she needs. And most guys goes, well, if she just tells me how she feels, then, you know, she doesn't know how she feels yet. That's why she wants to talk about it. That's how women process things, is they talk about it. And then she knows how they feel. A good example of this, I think every single one of us who are married probably have ever had this, you know, taking your wife out on a date, says, wherever you want, I'll take you out to dinner, wherever you want to eat. And she goes, no, no, I don't care, wherever you want. No, no, honest, honey, wherever you want to eat, you pick it, I'll take you there. No, 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 it's fine, you pick. Okay, how about going to the Mongolian Grill? No, I don't want to go there. Right? We've all had this. And us guys, the first thing that pops into my mind is, she lied to me. You know, because that's the guy way of thinking. But the girl, she really doesn't know. When you say, where do you want to eat? And she goes, I don't know. That is, I don't know. Help me figure it out. And so Julie and I, over the years, you know, we worked it out. And I go, okay, do you want Chinese? Do you want Mexican? Or do you want just good old-fashioned, you know, USA food? What do you want? And then, you know, help her work through it. That's the thing, guys, is we need to help our wives work through these emotions, help them to work through making up the decisions, because they don't know. And a lot of times, us guys, when we see our wives stressed out, we love them, we want to help them, right? So we bring our best to them, right? We come up to them, and what do we say? Stop thinking about it. Just forget about it. You know, that's a guy thing. It is impossible for a girl to do that. The only way that a girl can get it out is to talk about it, to figure out what it is, what the problem is. That's where us guys are wired differently. Us guys, we always think the problem is the problem, right? For a girl, guys, we need to change our thinking. The problem isn't the problem. The problem is how she feels about the problem. That's what the problem is. And the thing is that she doesn't know how she feels about the problem. So therefore, she needs to talk to us so she can figure out how she feels about the problem. And then once she can figure out how she feels about the problem, then she can take care of the problem. But until she knows how she feels about the problem, it's no good. So us guys, when we go in there, rather than fixing it, the true thing that we need to fix is to help her figure out how she feels about it. And then when she knows how she feels about it, she can take care of the problem. There's a little video clip that I found on the internet that explains it better than what I can explain it. So if I could have the guys in the back to show that real quick.
There's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on... It's not about the nail. And that's what we as guys got to figure out, that it is not about the problem. It's how she feels about the problem. That's what the real problem is. It is not about the nail. Excuse me. So how do we blossom our wives? How do we help them out? Because it is our responsibility as husbands. If our wife is blossom and is doing great, that's a good reflection on us. We're doing a good job. If they aren't, if they are all stressed out and everything, that is also a reflection on us husbands. That means that we're not stepping up and doing our job. Now, I know you guys, like we talked about last week, everything is on conquer, right? That's our emotional driven, is we conquer. We got to do the victory. We conquer things. And so that's why we did really good during the courtship, because we were trying to conquer, and we got married, and it's like, all right, job's done. I conquered this, right? I told her I loved her. If it changes, I'll let her know. You know? That's not what she needs. So, guy, conquer, all right? Five things. Five things. It's not that big. Five things. You got to remember them. Burn them in your brain. Stick some kind of emotion with them. Five things that your wife needs. Number one, that a wife needs is security. And all of the guys, we go, oh, sweet, I got that covered, man. I bring home a good paycheck. No, that's wrong. Three P's. Priest, protection, and provider. Number one, the priest. Her spiritual security is number one to a woman. Protection, number two, is your physical security. Number three, provider. That's the monetary security, okay? Us guys, we automatically go to the last one, the monetary security. All right, I got it covered. No, that's not her highest security that she needs. Number one is spiritual security. Emotions. All that she needs to be, feel like everything's going to be okay, that, you know, help her through the processing of all the emotions. Number two, the physical. That is literally physical. That means we husbands, you know, they got to feel secure with us. You know? No abuse whatsoever. None. And then the last one, the last security that she needs is everything's going to be okay, everything's provided, you know, the food, the house, and that kind of stuff. That's the last of them. Number two, the thing that she needs you to be her rock. She needs you to be that rock. When she had a bad day and she needs to cry, she doesn't need somebody to tell her that it's okay, quit crying. She needs a shoulder to cry on. She needs you to be that rock for her. If things are going hard and you know there's a terrible situation in your life and the road is really, really bumpy, she needs to know that she can hang on to you and she will make it through that. We need to be her rock. Number three, let her know that she is the one and only. You go, well, I did. I married her, right? She is my one and only. No. She needs to know it every single day. If you're running late for work, you know, and you show up home at 2 hours late, you just showed her that work was more important than she was. You aren't her one and only. There's some other things that sidetracked you. Well, how can we fix this? A phone call. Just a phone call to let her know. Then she goes, oh, well, he's being sidetracked by work, but I am still number one. He thought of me and called me and let me know. We got to let her know that she is the number one in our lives. Number four is physical. Physical touch. Totally different than the guys. Guys, yes, we like physical touch, but in a different way. Her physical touch is holding hands out in public. The hug. You know, a lot of women just really, really just love hugs. There is a study done that when I read it, it just blew me away. It says if your wife is stressed out when you come into the door, okay, your guys, here's a conquer thing, all right? And women, when I tell you this, don't go, well, he's just doing it because Ayler told him to, you know? Guys, if your wife is stressed out and you can see it, studies have shown 50 seconds. That's what you need, 50 seconds. If you hug her in that nice bear hug where she feels totally, completely secure, now not too tight where you're, you know, sucking the air out of her, but, you know, just, you know, where she feels secure, the first 20 minutes of the hug, she's, or sorry, 20 seconds. Whoa. The first 20 seconds, she's going, okay, is this just a quick hug or is this, you know, the real deal? Then the next 20 seconds, she is starting to melt. She's just melting in your arms. And then the last 10 seconds, she's letting it all out. So 50 seconds, guys, that's what it takes. Just hug her, not be subtracted by anything else. Just give her a hug and hold her for 50 seconds. I tried this with my wife one time. And she did. She literally just melted in my arms. I'm like, whoa, 50 seconds. I can do 50 seconds. No, you can't look at your watch. Actually, the hardest thing that I have for those 50 seconds is as soon as Julie and I start hugging or anything like that, a kid goes right in between us. That's the hardest thing I have for trying to get the side traction out of the way. And number five, as guys, we are the ones who need to make it right, so you need to find her love language and speak it to her. It is your responsibility to find her love language. Gals, it's your responsibility to find your husband's love language too, because he needs his love language to be spoke to him. But guys, we need to find our wives' love language. And the, you know, the five love languages, physical touch, words of affirmation, giving of gifts, quality time, and acts of service. So which one is your wife's? Okay? If your wife's gift is quality time, and you're out in the shop building her a bird house that she's always wanted, and you go and give that to her, which is giving of gifts, she's going to say, oh, that's what you've been wasting all your time on. She didn't get it because you weren't speaking her language. So us guys, we got to find out what her language is and speak it to her often. You can't speak it often enough. Sorry, I'm about ready to lose it here. last thing is movies. You know, you got guy movies and you got chick flicks, right? How do those help out with our relationship? Well, a guy movie, every single guy movie, somebody has to die. I mean, it's not a guy movie unless somebody dies. But the thing about it, it's how that person died. If he was the bad guy, the more gruesome, the better. If he was the good guys can die too in a guy movie. They just have to die with honor and respect. And so guy movies is all about action and conquering, getting it done. You can see this even from a little boy, you know. A little boy, he grabs, you know, a fork, and he said, and mom goes, hey, you gotta be careful. You're going to poke your eye out. He goes, well, yeah, mom. It's not fun unless somebody pokes your eye out. You know, that's just the way a boy is. And when we get in adulthood, it doesn't change a whole lot. Football. Football was not invented by a woman. I can tell you that right now. It is two groups of guys putting themselves against each other to see who is better, who can conquer the other one. But there is a ref there to make sure that it is done with honor. No cheating and foul play going on. Because then it's not any good. It's not good for a guy. But to find out who can conquer, does. Girls' movies. Chick flicks. A chick flick would be four girls around a dining room table for 2 hours talking about it. That could be a chick flick. And she's going, oh yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's just so, oh. So touching. And her husband's sitting there watching with her too. He's crying too, but for a totally completely different reason. So with these two different kinds of movies, what's the catch? A guy movie and a girl movie always have one thing in common. The guy always goes back for the girl. Right? Guy's there, he with his buddies, and they're fighting and stuff, and he starts backing off, and his buddies go, hey, where are you going? It's like, there's something I gotta do. And a peril, great peril to himself, he goes back and he rescues the girl, right? You get a girl, a chick flick. Jerry Maguire, I think, is the name of it. You know, it's a guy who is trying to conquer the world. You know, he's trying to get that great job promotion and get that, he's trying to sign a football player is what he's trying to do. And he ends up, you know, taking off, doing all that. He conquered it. He got the contract. He's on top of the world. And he realizes it's all worthless without her. So he goes back for the girl. And he walks into the door, and there's a whole bunch of gals in the house, you know. He's like, whoa, hi. And he goes on to explain to her that, you know, he did all this conquering stuff, but it means nothing without her. And would she please take him back? And all the gals here that's seen that all know what she said, huh? You had me at hello? Right? Because he came back for her. So what do we get from this? It's guys, go out and conquer the world. That's how God wired us. That's not wrong. Go out and conquer the world. Do what God told you to. But don't forget about the girl. Okay? When you're working late at night on that big job that you're trying to do, Say to the guys, you know, just get up and start walking out. And the guys go, hey, where are you going? There's something I got to do. And go home and rescue her from all those monsters. You mean like in the movies? No, I mean like the ones that you helped create. You know, rescue her from those monsters. In closing, so last week we talked about how do you communicate to a guy, and it was shoulder to shoulder. They did that same study on gals. You know, put two chairs in a room, put two gals in there. They went from little girls all the way up to grandmas. Every single time, they always turn the chairs to each other, eye to eye, right? And that's not normal for us guys. So when we talk to our wives, if you're not looking at her, you're not communicating with her. It's got to be eye to eye. Us guys, when we're talking to our wives, they're not about just facts. They need to know how you feel about it. Well, how would that make you feel? I know that's tough for us guys, but we got to talk about it because that's what she needs. And gals usually, you know, they just talk. You have four women around the table, all four of them are talking all at the same time, and they can actually keep up with each other. Us guys, that just doesn't work. So I encourage you guys to get your wife alone so that you can handle it, okay? Because if you don't, it's just going to be way more than what we can do. This face-to-face, eye-to-eye communication is very, very important with your wife because that's how she's wired. If you're not looking at her, you're not talking to her. I found this out with one of my daughters, you know, going each night and pray with them and ask them how their day went and stuff when we tuck them into bed. Lights are off all the time, you know, to help them to calm down. And I was down there talking with one of them, and she goes, "Daddy, look at me." Like, I can't even see the hand in front of my face. What do you mean, look at me? But even from little girls, they're wired that if you're not looking at them, you're not listening. So, guys, it's our responsibility. I encourage you to find out what her love language is and to blossom your wife. Because we are the ones that God gave the power to blossom our wives. Don't let her wither. Have a good week.